I usually don't like to tell jokes, but there's one that is coming up in my mind stubbornly, so I have to tell you. This must have happened in a Baptist church. The preacher read this gospel. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. On hearing that, a man lifted up his wife in church. The pastor said, "What are you doing, brother?" "Well," he said, "take up your cross." "So this is my cross," he said. That is a joke. You know, I did not choose to become a priest freely. It is not natural for anyone to run to God, for the prospect of falling into the hands of God is frightening to anyone. The only one who said yes freely was the Blessed Mother. Jeremiah, in the first reading, was almost forced to be a prophet. I was also forced. I am not complaining. I learned to love it. I know I was created for this. But do you all ever think that life was easy for Jesus Christ, God and man, the kind of life that was laid out for him according to his Father's plan, and all he had to endure for us? Did he ever complain of us? From the moment he was born, the cross never left him. Even when the wise men came, one of the gifts they offered to his mother was myrrh, embalming fluid. That is not the kind of gift you expect that baby shower, but that is what happened. As soon as he became a man, as soon as he was born, he was taken. And his parents had to run to Egypt at night. It was cold. God suffered. God suffered in Christ for you. That's my point. As soon as he came of age, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. His people rejected him. But he never stopped. He fed the crowds. He preached to them. He healed anyone who came to him. Yet they hated him for it. And eventually they crucified him. Never complain. If Jesus is the perfect man, if he is the paradigm of the power, then why have we shifted so far away from the ideal? When we become so small, we complain at every simple thing. Down to coffee, and steak, and this, and that, and the other. As a people, we no longer know how to suffer. We have completely shifted the center. Life has become so comfortable that we forget you cannot go to heaven like that. If you do not follow the example of Christ, life was not intended by the Father to be perfect. The word comfort was the absolute paradigm. No. Otherwise, Jesus would have come in comfort and grandeur and power and splendor. But he came humble and simple and suffering. Because in heaven, those who suffer more on earth will be the highest in heaven. This is the logic of heaven. That is why Jesus calls Peter Satan. "Get behind me, you're not thinking like God, you're thinking like man." We have been influenced greatly by what I call the psychology of Sigmund Freud. You may not be aware of intentions and tragedies in the world and how the world is conditioned, but I can tell you from studying psychology how it has affected us. Because Freud says, "Do not repress anything. If you love faith, just dive into it, eat a ton of it. If you like alcohol, swim in it. If you like anything, do not repress anything." But that is a stupid idea. If you do not repress laziness, you cannot be hardworking. If you do not discipline children, they'll come out into monsters. So something has to be repressed for something else to develop. That is the way you train children or anyone. But we have drifted slowly and surely over time. We no longer know how to discipline, except you send a child into the military. He doesn't know how to tell you good morning, sir. Good morning, sir, in the morning, does he? Tell me. Can our children say good morning? They expect you as parents to tell them good morning. We don't know how to correct them. We're caught in love, and we can start being here. So the complete breakdown of responsibility The denial of responsibility to break down the discipline and limit on the psychology of fraud is affected our educational system, everything. It is also affected us spiritually to when there is no discipline, there is no mortification. That word is not even used anymore. We fast as a church twice a year, Ash Wednesday, Good Friday. We should fast twice every week, and then we will break all the addictions and harass us. We have the slightest pain, we go to doctors and they give us opioids and opioids. We are completely inoculated from feeling anything. I am addressing the call to my friends, because into this place, Jesus is saying, if you wish to come after me, take up your cross, follow me. Those are not my words, those are his. He is saying to us, follow me, be like me, look at me, learn. Sometimes the only way to spiritual power is the way of suffering. I'm not asking you to run after suffering, but when it comes, I tell you, don't run away from it. It is a window to Christ. Whenever you have to suffer, that is the best opportunity to connect to Christ, to be like Him, to feel His presence, if you don't stop fussing and griping. I can tell you from my life, I can tell you story after story. I can tell you, sometimes when the Lord put suffering upon me, I did nothing. I thought I was doing everything right. I just had to suffer, be persecuted by my brothers. And when I complained, Jesus did not justify me. He did not even blame my brothers. He would always tell me, look at me. Are you suffering more than I did? And then I'd be quiet. I can't complain anymore. He always asked me to measure to Him, not to my brothers. Do what I ask you to do, take it like I did. He never blamed me. But you know, each time I suffered like that, something good came out of it. It became for me a special school. For there is no spiritual power without sacrifice. I can tell you why the church is weak. There is no fasting. There is no fast. Some demons cannot be overcome except through prayer and fasting. Why there is no fire behind preaching today? Why many priests don't have the courage of Jeremiah in the first reading? There is no prayer, deep prayer, and fasting. That is where the power lies. If a man prays and fasts, he doesn't need to say 10 words, he can convert 1,000 men. Look at Peter the day of Pentecost. 1,000 were converted in one day, 100. So, my friends, we cannot run away from the cross. Laying down your life for your spouse can be a cross. Taking care of your children and raising them in love can be a cross. Keeping the Ten Commandments can be a cross. Living your Christian faith in the culture that we have today can be a serious cross. Because when you try to do good, everybody heckles you. If you try to be Christian, good. So when the Lord says, take up your cross and follow me, He is saying, when things get difficult like that, don't complain, don't fuss, just connect to me. Draw strength from my cross. Do what I did. Nothing struck me. Not the hatred of the Pharisees and the scribes. Not even the fact that they killed me. But you see how I became almighty through the cross?
Now the mystery of the cross is when you teach your son.
I have a small Franciscan cross here, but you can look at the crucifix in the sanctuary. Now let me reveal to you the mystery of this object on which God hung to save us. Every cross or crucifix has a horizontal dimension. It suggests to me the downward stretch of grace of God coming down to history in Christ. Now the cross also has a vertical dimension, which suggests to me the ebb and flow of human history intersecting at the point. And it is the body of the Christ that resolves the tension between heaven and earth, nature and grace, man and God together. Only Christ on the cross resolves that tension. The That is why when the Lord says to me, "Don't take up your cross," it could literally mean just take up a crucifix and bring it to work. Let people see your faith, you don't have to say anything. It also means unite every suffering you have in your life with me. And then I will reward you on the last day. That's what he says. The Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay everyone according to their conduct. Final justice belongs to Christ. That is why sometimes the world must not seek perfect justice on earth. Sometimes we worry about people who are abused, persecuted, who are killed unjustly. They will reign over those who persecuted them and abused them in heaven. They will become kings, and those who kill them will serve them forever. This is the logic of heaven. So suffering for us Christians is salvific. Suffering undertaken in Christ brings salvation and healing. You know why the cross is the way? Right after sin, the only way to get back to God is sacrifice and work. There was no work when there was no sin. There would have been no cross. But because of sin, there has to be a cross. It is the only way. This is the logic of our faith, my friends. I will not lie to you. That is why when you raise this standard against the devil, all of hell trembles. This is the sign of contradiction. Crucifix. Is the power and wisdom of the Christian faith. The Lord says, if you wish to come after me,
I was surprised by the animal warnings here in Dublin. I was invited to give the last price to a dying man. I had hardly known him. I remember because it happened in the morning. I was dressed in a pair of jeans. I don't like to wear the black on Mondays. I wear it all week. So Monday is my only way out. So the Lord was messing with me that morning. So I was running ahead as I got the call that I had to go and hunt someone. The family came and got me and told me where to come, and I told them I'm coming this way. I'm sorry, I just finished doing my anointing oil, that's all. I'm a priest anyway, it doesn't matter how I dress. They said they were fine. So I got to the home of Joseph, not about food. His children had surrounded his bed. The man was not conscious anymore. Half conscious, so to speak. He was clinging to a little crucifix, so tight and so hard that all the king's horses, all the king's men could not tear knock about from that crucifix. He was not present to me. I intended to take it from him so I could anoint him as prescribed by the church. The man was clinging to it like his life depended upon it. That day I saw faith in a dying man, Joseph Knockabout Bourgeois. I knew exactly the story of that man's life just from meeting him on his deathbed. His name is forever etched in my consciousness just because of that sight. A man clinging to the cross when there was nothing really that should frighten him at that point. But he held on to that cross till he passed. Tell me why God will not have open heaven to him. I know how difficult it is today for us to get our faith to work amongst people who act like pagans. People want to tear down statues. People don't want nothing to do with prayer. You know, Joseph Knockabout can be an example. You can just carry a crucifix to work, place it on your table. Anybody who doesn't like it can jump into the river. Do not say anything. Just be proud of it. This is the sign of my redemption. I'm thankful to Christ, so I carry this cross with me wherever I go. If it means so much to you, you do not know how many you might convert just by making a show of your faith. Isn't that something we can do collectively today? For the victory we hope to achieve today over the forces of darkness in our country, we could win by way of the cross. Was it fair to Christ that the Father put all our struggles on his head?
not meant to be there on earth, my friends. It is meant to be there. Justice and fairness will come in heaven. That is the heart of the Christian faith. I have to live a life of sacrifice in this life. I am not complaining, but it is a blessing that I'm able to do what I'm doing on account of God's grace, that I have to hand up the cross every day for you, and I do it joyfully. So thankful I was given the opportunity to do it. Initially, I did not understand what it was about. Can't you do the same for your family? Can't you do the same for America? Can't you do the same for all mankind just because he did it for you? I think you can. I tell you another story. It happened in Rome. I think it was Lent. I forget which year it was. I had the culture of going to pray by myself late at night just to do something with Jesus. So I settled down in the chapel, which was in the basement of our dormitory, if you like, you can call it college. I settled down in the chapel and began to pray, meditating, and I could almost swear that I heard the sound of a man groaning under what felt like excruciating pain. Instinctively, my eyes were raised to the crucifix. I could tell you, it seemed that the corpus, the body of Christ on the crucifix was moving. Jesus came alive. The crucifixion came alive right before me. I felt so sorry for the Lord. I think I was thinking more about myself, that I slept on a comfortable bed, and God was always hanging on a cross. So I wanted to bring him down. Who would be at the same level? This is where my thoughts are fixed. When the word of the Lord came to me, you cannot bring me down. I will not come down unless all humanity will come together as one. Why don't you go tell the world there is a man hanging on the cross? Why don't you take up your own cross and follow me? Is that our summons? Is that our mandate? Tell the world there's a man hanging on the cross. To take up our crosses and follow him. All the apostles came to understand what Jesus said on this occasion, that they all died. But Jesus meant that they were all going to hang on a cross of some kind for him. They all did except John. John witnessed the crucifixion. All the apostles were not afraid to die for Christ. They are our brothers, the foundation of our faith. Why do we expect a life without pain? Why do we think that everything has to be soft and cozy and fluffy? Where did we get this idea from? Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? How do we measure success? A big fat man can count. How do we measure success? A comfortable home. How do we measure success? The best meals that we eat, the best wines that we drink. How do we measure success as a Christian? Is it the union with Christ in heaven? Jesus says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Nothing more,